We would talk to the Indiana Chamber of Commerce president and CEO and Bloomingtonian. It's our great friend Kevin Brinegar. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Good afternoon. Well, I'm fine. I am, like you, somewhat amazed that Mr. Izzo and Michigan State are the only Big Ten team in the Sweet 16. Wouldn't have thought that 2 weeks ago.
No, and that's been a disturbing pattern of the conference here over, what, the last 3, 4, 5 years?
Indeed it has.
And you got a big weekend in Indianapolis on Saturday on our airwaves. We're going to have the Class A and 2A state title games, and then folks will come back later in the evening to Bankers or Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the Class 3 and 4A championships as well. That's an exciting time. It's just Indiana and basketball. That's what we do, buddy.
Yeah, and for the first time in a number of years, we've got a team going for an undefeated season in the Ben Davis Giants from over on the west side of Indianapolis.
Yeah, they knocked off your North Cougars right here on WGCL last Saturday in the Sweet 16, yeah. Then went on to beat Brownsburg in the semi-state title game for the South region, and they will take on, I believe it's, is it Penn is their opponent? Or yeah, no, it's Kokomo. Kokomo.
No, that's right, Kokomo.
With the
Kokomo.
Big Bidunga kid, so Ben Davis ranked 10th nationally. Whew, that's a good good squad. So plenty of hoops. Well, we're not here to talk hoops. We're here to talk about the other big sessions going on in Indianapolis, and that's the legislative sessions. Tell me what we've learned so far, where we are. A lot of our folks, Kevin, just got back from spring break. We go with Indiana University down here, so we might be a little lost in the shuffle. And that's why I wanted to have you on today to give us an update of where we're at and what we should be following from the business community and other things.
Well, let me say that we are in 3 weeks into the what we consider the second half of the session. The House of Representatives is now dealing exclusively with Senate bills. Senate is dealing exclusively with House bills that have passed already. There is only about 6 weeks to go in this legislative session, and it's going full tilt. In terms of business issues and matters of importance to the chamber and its members all across the state of Indiana, there are arguably as many or more big issues pending across different areas as I can recall. Obviously, we have a number of things we're interested in the state budget, particularly with respect to support for economic development and deal closing funds and manufacturing assistance funds and other things. Lot going on in the education workforce area. We're very pleased that earlier this week, a bill that we've been working on for 5 years to really encourage families to fill out the federal application for free student aid, rather, the FAFSA form, so that families know what they're eligible for, because last year, Hoosier families left some $65 million in student aid for not only four-year institutions, but associate's degrees, certifications, and even the Next Level Jobs program. So that has been sent to the governor. We had a bill, the very first bill, that went to the governor back in February, that would very important to small businesses that are pass-through entities where they pay their business income tax on the individual income tax returns of their owners and shareholders. Pass to allow them to take full deductibility on their federal tax return for their state and local income taxes paid. That will save our small businesses some well north of $100 million this year and going forward. So we're very pleased that that was the first bill that the governor signed. I had the privilege of going to the bill signing.
Oh, good.
In his and got a commemorative pen. So that's good. There's some things going on in the environmental area with regard to air permitting fees. And we are working on and frankly opposing a bill that would prohibit state and local pension funds from being invested in certain kinds of investments. And our position is that the pension fund should be invested in a way that gives the best return for least amount of risk, and that should be the sole criteria upon which those pension funds are invested, and that's the way it's been in the past. There's a bill moving forward with regard to data privacy, Senate Bill 5, which would give consumers much more control on how their data is used once you, you know, purchase something online and have to give your information. But we feel it's a fair and balanced bill in terms of the responsibilities and the requirements that it puts on business as well. That's already passed through the Senate and is headed to the floor of the House. So lots going on there. We also, there's strong, this is a chamber initiative that has gotten strong support, and that is to allow our low-income families who are eligible for the 21st Century Scholars Program, which would give them a free post-secondary education tuition, to automatically be enrolled in the program. We've seen in recent years that less than half of the kids that are eligible get enrolled in the program, and therefore they're not able to take advantage of this really life-changing opportunity that the state is providing them with the 21st Century Scholars Program. So those are just a few things. There are many more. I guess the other one I would mention is the tax relief legislation, House Bill 1499. There are, unfortunately, with the housing shortage and inflation and the dramatic rise in housing prices and values, that causes the assessed valuation to go up substantially, which then translates into higher property tax bills. And I think some Hoosiers are in for a big shock here real soon with the spring and the bills going out. There's nothing really the General Assembly can do about the assessed value of 22, pay 23 bills, but they may be looking at some property tax relief for homeowners in particular in 24 and beyond. So that's one that we're watching closely as well, because depending on how they provide that relief, it could have impact on businesses also. And then lastly, I'll mention is the recommendations of the governor's public health commission, trying to bolster the services and the preparedness of our local health departments. And then that's Senate Bill 4. And then Senate Bill 1 is the recommendations of the Behavioral Health Commission that would, among other things, expand programs and set up a 988 crisis response center, analogous to the suicide hotline. You could call 988 and there would be a live person there to help you with your mental health or substance abuse issues. Both of those require substantial funding. The House budget did not fund the behavioral health bill at all and cut the governor's recommendation on public health commission in half. We would like to see those programs funded with an increase in the cigarette and other tobacco taxes, because then that would also have the added benefit of over time reducing Indiana's smoking rate, which is, as we've discussed before,
right,
50% higher than the U.S. average, and bring that more in line. And right now, it's hard to believe in this day and age. We've been hearing, you know, that smoking is hazardous to your health since 1970, but Indiana's smoking rate as a percentage of the population right now is actually going up.
Really? Does that include vaping?
That's cigarettes, but then you've got the vaping on top of it. So it's just mind-boggling.
Wow.
To me that's the case.
Tell our listeners, Kevin, why that's important to the business climate. If you don't have healthy workers, if you don't have healthy citizens, well, how can you have healthy business?
Yeah, well, exactly. And then the IU, the School of Public Health, has done studies estimating that smoking in the workplace costs businesses around the state some $6.2 billion in higher health care costs, absenteeism, and lost worker productivity. So it is a business issue, even though it's a personal choice.
Interesting to how that works. Now, you've mentioned, obviously, a lot of these bills, whether in the Senate or the House, and you've explained the process excellently. The pass-fail rate, are these going to be chopped? What needs to happen to get these through? What would be an acceptable rate from your viewpoint of, are these all going to make it, or are they going to be rearranged and made it? I know that's making the sausage, but that's kind of interesting how that works.
Well, all of the above. Some of the bills won't make it in the second house, or they may pass both houses but in different forms. And then in that case, a House-Senate conference committee has to be appointed to try to work out the differences between the House-passed version and the Senate-passed version. Because for a bill to get to the governor's desk to be signed, it has to pass both houses in exactly the same form, not even a comma or one word difference. And so there are also bills that pass both houses in different forms, and then they can't agree on one unified format, and so they can die in conference committee as well. There are certain things that, like on the public health and the mental health commission, there seems to be a pretty strong commitment to enact those bills, but then how it's funded still remains to be seen. We think the Senate may take a different approach than the House, and likewise on other things like the unfunded liability and the teacher's retirement fund. The House raised the threshold for families to access the voucher program up to 400% of the federal poverty level. That's a substantial increase. The chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee has said he doesn't want to move the threshold up in beyond where it is currently, which is at about I forget the percentage of federal poverty, but it's maybe a little more than half of what the House did. So you know, there's some significant disagreements. There's also disagreement on this pension bill, and also doesn't seem to be agreement yet on what should or shouldn't be done in the form of property tax relief. That's not to say that they won't reach agreement by the end of April, but there are some pretty wide chasms that have to be closed between the majority Republicans in both the House and the Senate in order for them to pass these bills and get them to the governor's desk before they are required by law to adjourn for good on no later than April 29th.
Now, when we talk about, for example, I know the property tax issue is on everybody's radar. That seems like, I don't want to say a no-brainer, but what do you believe the holdup is, for lack of a better word? Is it tit for a little give and take here, or a little politicking?
Well, it's how much, if any, needs to be done, and is this a one-time problem or a continuing problem? How to go about doing it. And there were a number of bills filed this year, but there's now just down to this one, 1499. And, you know, one approach, you have to remember with rapidly rising assessed valuations, comes significantly increasing revenues to local government. And so, not surprisingly, the representatives of the local government in the State House...
Give me that money!
They're saying, give me the money. And if you want to provide property tax relief, do it by either having the state pay for buy the bills down, but give us the money, which is estimated next year to be, on average, over a 10% increase of local unit revenue. Or they say, if not that, then, you know, shift the burden to business. And that's where our ears perk up. The approach taken in this bill by Ways and Means Chairman Jeff Thompson and his committee members is to reduce the increase in revenues, not the base, but reduce the increase in revenues from 10% to an average of 6%. And that's being done by lowering the constitutional cap on residential property from 1% to 0.9%. Now, most people think that the 1%, 2%, 3% caps are a fixed number. But what the constitutional amendment that was enacted a few years ago said is that the caps can be no more than 1, 2, or 3%. And so they can be lower than that. And when you lower the cap, you lower the revenue that local government can collect, albeit that they're still likely to see a large increase, just not as much as if things were allowed to go on unchecked.
And how does this get over the finish line, I guess, would be the
well, I mean, eventually the Senate will pass its version of the budget. It'll pass its version of this property tax related bill. The House will pass their version of the public health and the behavioral health bill, because those were bills that started and have already passed the Senate. And then these conference committees will be appointed. They're two members from the House and two members from the Senate, and they will be charged with trying to work out the differences and come up with, again, one unified version of each of those bills that the two bodies can vote on the exact same bill. And if so, then they'll pass and go to the governor's desk. And if they don't accomplish that by April 29th, then those bills will be dead, and those topics might have to come back next year.
Yep, and we'll see how that that follows along. So about the halfway point, just a little bit past it, and we'll see how everything
works. About 2-3 weeks past the halfway point.
Gotcha.
We'll start on the 9th of January.
And will you come back next month when things start firing along? Well, we want to get to right before the end of the session, or should we meet after the session is over? What do you think would be better?
I would propose both.
Oh, good. That works good. I didn't want to overstep my bounds.
No, I'm always happy to visit with you and your listeners back there in my hometown. I can give you I'll have a much clearer picture, say mid second, third week of April, and then I can give you a wrap up, sometime in early May.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to make that happen. I'll get in touch with Rebecca and we'll get all the dots connected. I know you got a busy night tonight, buddy. I appreciate you giving me some time this afternoon and to our listeners, and we'll get caught up with you in April.
That sounds great. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listeners and share information as to what's going on and what the perspective is from our organization that represents businesses all over the state.